Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the homebrew meeting for tonight for the 23rd of June. It is good to see everybody. It's good to see Ray and Mary again. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to have them. And so let's go ahead and get into what the Lord would have for us for tonight as we look at Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 76. But as we do in our custom, we always start and we look at what we discussed last time. And there's a couple of points to go ahead and point our spirit in the right direction and kind of get us moving in what the Lord would have as we go ahead and look at those points. The first point that we have is unrighteousness characteristics are in us from the start, and they do not just pop up. They are there in us all the while waiting for something to poke them or provoke them so that they can manifest for the world to see. Amen. And we looked at that. We had even an example in our midst here. But of course, when you look at the children of Israel, they're crossing the Red Sea. Miriam, she went ahead and she sang and grabbed her tambourine and she danced and she did all that. The horse and the rider, they threw into the sea. But a couple of chapters later, she was being asked to leave the camp from the leprosy that God gave her because she had ought against her brother. She carried those bad feelings and those bad thoughts for her brother through that wonderful miracle. Isn't that amazing? The wonderful miracle. God parting the Red Sea, the children of Israel had walked across on dry land. But in her heart, they were in there, and she just carried those right through on dry land. But something provoked that, and then they manifested in time, and God could deal with them. Amen. So it's the same thing in our life. Any time that God pokes something in us, we need to let the Lord go ahead and have His way. And if it manifests, then let the Lord deal in our life. Amen. The second point is most often we blame the devil, or we blame our spouse, or we blame our brothers or sisters or whatever for our mistakes. But again, it is a manifestation of our desires not to allow God to work in our life. So those things are in us because we have refused to allow God to work in our life. If we let God work in our life, then those things will come forth because out of our mouth speaks our heart. And then we can hear them and we can agree or disagree with God that they need to be worked on. The third point we looked at last time is we go through the motions, not inwardly being truly satisfied with our relationship with the Lord. So many Christians that I know that is go through the motions. I mean, you know, I believe they probably have some type of relationship with the Lord, but they go through the motions, and inwardly you can see it. You can see it, and you can feel it in that person that they're not inwardly satisfied. They're not truly, you know, satisfied with their relationship with the Lord. And we have to allow God to, you know, work in our lives and bring us into some narrow places and to develop that relationship with us. And it's through suffering, believe it or not, and it's through trials and all of these things that we go through, the wilderness experiences in our life, is where we truly come into an understanding of who God is, and then that satisfaction that is built in our heart. The fourth point that we looked at is, if Saul continued to withdraw from God, there was a response, and that was silence from God. Now, silence is a response, believe it or not, from God. Amen. And as Saul kind of walked away from God, and he would inquire of God, but when he would inquire of God, then silence came, and then, well, that was the beginning of the end. When God is silent, it is a closed heaven. Let me say that again. When God is silent, it is a closed heaven, not an open heaven where revelation, abundance, you know, provide. And it is the beginning of the end. When God brings silence in our relationship, He doesn't want to talk to us. It's a closed heaven. And make sure to know that it is the beginning of the end. And the longer, this is the last point, point number six, the longer one backslides, the less they know it, that it's happening. The longer someone backslides, the longer someone is walking away from God, the less they know it. The less they know it because they reject the drawing and conviction of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord convicts, come back, convict, and they keep, you know, pushing that away. And then the less of the conviction in the life, and so the less they know that they're backsliding, then ultimately they go off and, well, usually they walk out of God. As we can see, we'll see that a little bit more with Saul. Amen? So let's go ahead and look at Wilderness Food for Modern Times, number 76. And we're in 1 Samuel 13 and 13, and you have your notes right there. And it says, "And Samuel said unto Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of thy Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy throne upon Israel forever." Wow. Now that is a tremendous thought when you look at Saul. It was God's intention for Saul, believe it or not, to be David. Let me say that again. According to this verse right here, it was God's intention for Saul to have his kingdom established for Israel forever. But Saul walked away from God. And, you know, we looked at that, you know, we looked at that, you know, last time we were there, and Saul was walking away and walking away, and so we're going to continue to look at, you know, at Saul walking away. But that really is a tremendous thought right there, that God's intention was for Saul to be, his kingdom to be established forever and ever. Tonight we're going to look at defeat. Saul defeated himself. Saul defeated himself with his foolish self-centeredness. And last time we looked at self-centeredness. Saul lost that which he so desperately tried to preserve, his kingdom. 1 Samuel 13:14 says, "But thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be the captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commandeth thee." Wow. God is looking for a man after his own heart, and that man was not Saul. Saul was God's first choice. Saul was the first king of Israel. That was, you know, they had a prophet. "Oh no, we don't want a prophet. We don't want a prophet. Now we want a king like everybody else." So, okay. And God selected Saul. And Saul was, it wasn't David. He wasn't God's first choice. It was Saul, not David. But David had a heart after God. Saul continued to walk away, and we're kind of go ahead and, you know, and see what happens there. The reason or foundation for Saul's ignorance and for God's silence was his persistent disobedience in the face of clear revelation. Anytime God has given you revelation, you need to take heed. I don't care what it is. Because if you do away with revelation, if you ignore it, if you reject it, there will be less and less revelation coming your way, I promise you. It's the same thing as I said, the longer you walk in disobedience, the longer you walk in your backslide, the less you will know it. Saul was putting a distance between himself and God. God wasn't doing that, but Saul was putting that distance between him and God. And God honors that distance and withdrew from Saul as if Saul's own desire or request. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't understand why God does that. God sees someone that is walking away from him, and God does not run after them and say, hey, wait a minute, come on, come back. God will not do that. God will let you go away. He honors our will, he honors all of those things. Now, if I was God, I wish none to be lost, none not one. I would go after them that whole lot of sheep, but I will tell you, God did not go after Saul, because Saul chose. He knew what he was doing. Saul was walking with the Lord, and he knew what he was doing, and then he just walked away from what God had for him, and God just kind of let him go. God's intention for us is victory, not defeat. Let me say that again. God's intention for us is victory. There is no defeat in God. If you're looking for defeat, you're going to have to go somewhere else, because there's no defeat in God. God's intention is only victory for us, not defeat. But if we choose defeat, if we choose defeat, then He will give it to us. If we choose defeat, that's not God's intention. Victory is what God wants. But if we decide to choose what is wrong, if we decide to choose defeat, then He will let us have that. When this happened, that which God brought to Saul initially was also withdrawn. Now this is a very dangerous here for, remember, if you're a backslider, that means you were walking normally with God, you were walking with God, things were going good, and then all of a sudden something happened, you got offended or whatever, and then you started walking away from God. You have to be walking with God to be a backslider. And so that's what was going on with Saul here. But when this happened, that which God brought to Saul initially was also withdrawn. The kingdom and his final life itself were withdrawn from Saul. He lost both. Because Saul wanted his kingdom to be established forever. He lost that. And of course, Saul ultimately lost his life. He moved backwards into the wilderness of Bethaven. And of course, we know Bethaven means wickedness, and it comes out of pride and a sign of vanity and self-centeredness. And that's what Bethaven is, and this is where the children of Israel, they are in Bethaven. And it's meaning and spiritual significance. When we move backwards, when we move away from God, even a little bit, in the things that God brought our way, the first thing that is lost is the spiritual work that God has been able to do in our life. Now that's serious stuff right there. So when we're walking with the Lord, because there is no neutral, I'm just going to be neutral. Now either we're walking forward or we're walking backwards. But if we are walking forward, God's given us revelation, we have the open heaven, everything is good. But if we stop, if we start to go backwards, what we lose is the work that God has been able to do in our life. We lose the revelation and knowledge that God has given us. And it just disappears and it goes away. Saul's consequences cannot be avoided in a life which is consistently knowing and willing movement into the direction away from God. Saul knew better. He knew better. It was a willing and it was a knowing what he was doing in his backsliding. The life is away from the Spirit of God and his leading and his conviction. The end is clearly seen only in time that it was going to take for it to finally happen. There is no longer the touch of God upon that life. No longer is victory found from God. The revelation, which is God, is no longer available. The inheritance belongs to that one's life is lost. The person loses everything that God has provided for him. Wow. The revelation knowledge is gone. Everything that God has provided for him is taken from him and it goes. And as I said last Sunday, and I was talking about this, I guess, when I was putting this together, that our inheritance, our inheritance, the things that God has for us, the crown and all of these things, they will not be lost. God will not let an inheritance be lost. What He will do, if we do not get those things that God has for us, those things that we will inherit for walking with Him, He will give them to another. It will not be lost. So now the inheritance God had for Saul was not lost. No, it was given to David. The things that God wanted to give Saul, God didn't say, well, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and just go away with those. He said, no, I'm going to give those to the next king, and the next king was David. So if you want to see what Saul missed out on, all you have to do is look at David's life. Wow. Bethlehem is the point of focus in the scenes of Saul and the Philistine. 1 Samuel 13 and 5. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots. Wow, can you imagine that, Mary? 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen. And the people is the sand which is on the seashore is multitude. And they came up and pitched in Mishmash eastward from Bethaven. Bethaven is being in the picture help us to see what is going on and under the surface of all of these things. And of course, again, Bethaven, you know, is wickedness and it's pride and it's vanity and so forth and so on. Amen. Once the clue is found in the understanding, its thread can clearly be traced through the whole story. Wow. There it is, easy to see. Saul in a deteriorating direction. Then understanding is clear how he got himself into a position where God did not answer him, and consequently why he searched for and, you know, communicated with the witch of Endor. Well, the Bible doesn't call her the witch of Endor, but she had a familiar spirit. And so, of course, Samuel went to the witch of Endor. We'll call her the witch of Endor. And, you know, I always thought this was kind of, you know, kind of amazing how that this lady with this familiar spirit was able to reach into paradise and go ahead and recall Samuel from the dead. I'm waiting for the Lord to kind of give me a revelation knowledge of that, you know. But until then, I mean, I'm not going to worry about it, you know. But we cannot hide our heart and our ways from God and our friends. We cannot hide our heart and our ways from God. Saul was trying to do that, but, you know, he couldn't do that. He even went to the witch of Endor to get advice. You know, God would speak to him, so he went to the witch of Endor to go ahead and get Samuel to be brought back from the dead so he could get some advice on what to do. You know, oftentimes when I think about grace, and I think how we try to hide things, you know that? You know, we try to hide things. We try to hide things from our friends. We try to hide things from, you know, people in church. We don't want them to really know what's going on. You know, and I think about that rain. I remember when I was going to this one church in Georgia, and at the time I was in the military and I still smoked. And, you know, I would smoke going to church. Smoke a cigarette going to church. And I would look around and make sure none of the other people in the church was behind me, because I wouldn't want to see the smoke coming out of my car, you know. I don't want them to know that I smoke, you know. And I'm one of the leaders in the church. You know, man, of course, I'm not saying smoking is going to send you to hell or whatever. But anyway, that's between you and the Lord. But anyway, and so I would chew gum and do all this stuff. And I would go up and I would hug these guys and they would hug me. I thought I was hiding something from them. Well, they knew the entire time. I mean, you can sit and you can smell the smoke on your clothes and your hands and stuff, you know. And I thought I was hiding this, you know, and I wasn't. Actually, you know what was going on? These brothers really loved me. These brothers really, really cared about me. And they would act like, okay, you know, fine, if you want to hide it, that's fine. And then, you know, finally the Lord took that away from, you know, smoking away from me. But I mean, I was thinking about hiding, I always think about that. And, you know, just how gracious these brothers were to me. Amen? Well, amen. We can see Saul's heart condition here. It is not because the Bible saved it, but because Saul's own words and actions, they display it. Often things like the loss of a kingdom and the loss of a life are blamed upon some condition relating to God doing it. But we see and know that it was Saul's condition, it was Saul's heart condition, which caused the loss. Again, God only wants victory and not defeat for us. God only wants victory. He wants no defeat. Defeat comes by way of our hands. Let me say that again. Defeat in our life comes by ways of our hands and by our thinking and the things that we do. And the devil has a little part to play in there. He kind of sets us up. But we make the decision. It's our lust that goes after the you know, these things. But the thief in our life comes by our hands and not by anybody else's. Disobedience and sin are also related to Bethaven and Ai in Joshua chapter 7. So we see this particular movement is not only found only in one isolated story. You can read it in Saul, and you can read it in Judas, and you can see these in, you know, Saul and Judas and all these other lives. It's a pattern in their lives as they kind of walk away from God. You can read it in the lives today of people that you know. Amen? You can see it in Ai here in Joshua 7, 2, 4, and 11. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven. Wow. On the east side of Bethel. Now, it's very important to know that Ai means house of ruins. Ai, that's what Ai means house of ruin, and Bethel means house of blessing. House of blessing. And so here, there was a choice that they could go to Bethel, or they could go to house of blessing, or they could go to house of ruin. Amen? And Satan is saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. So there went up hither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. Israel had sinned, and they had transgressed my commandment, which I commanded thee. For they even have taken of the accused saying, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it, even among their own stuff. Wow. Always when there is a going up, that means we are not going towards the Lord. We can go towards the Lord in the Spirit, and after the Lord speaks to us, then we can go up. But if we're not spending time with the Lord, if we're not walking in obedience and doing what the Lord wants, and we go up, that is presumption. And presumption is presuming to know right. Presuming to know what the Lord wants without asking Him. And so that's what Saul was doing. He wanted to know if God wanted him to go ahead and attack the Philistines. And that's why he went to the Witch of Endor. Saul was in presumption because he was not walking with the Lord. He was not receiving that revelation knowledge because he was backslidden and he was not receiving that. Same thing here with the children of Israel in Joshua. They went up to Ai. They were in presumption because they have sinned. And they went up and said, oh, we only need about 3,000 men. We can go ahead. We can take we took Jericho. Look how we defeated Jericho. We just had the basins, and we broke some things, some trumpets, and the walls fell down, and we got them all. So we don't need a lot of men. We only need about 3,000 to take Ai. Well, they went up, and Ai defeated them, and they defeated them because they had sinned. God did not sin, and the devil had nothing to do with this. Amen. It was sin on their part. It was sin in the camp that caused this to happen in their life. Amen? The reason for Israel's defeat by the men of Ai was disobedience and sin. God declared that Israel had moved contrary to His word. This sin was committed in the face of clear revelation and willingness and knowingly. There was no excuse for it. Joshua was very explicit in communicating to the people that nothing from Jericho was to be taken for personal possession. Nothing was to be taken. But, and of course, Joshua 6, 8 and 9, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accused things, lest ye make yourselves accused when you take of the accused things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all of the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. But there were some people that did not do that. They took some of the accused thing. They took some of the, from the bounty of, of course, that's what happened in Ai. That was the sin. Disobedience is a huge deal to God. Let me say this again. Disobedience and backsliding and walking away from God is a huge deal to God. Lives are at stake. And here we see in the battle in Ai, 36 Israelis, and there wasn't a lot of Israelis, and 36 was a lot of Israelis to lose, but 36, they lost their lives. Lives are at stake. Yes, ours, but also, now listen very closely, most often others pay the price for our disobedience. Others will pay the price for our disobedience. And that's what happened with Saul. Many people died because of Saul's disobedience. And that's just kind of a spiritual principle. As we walk away from God and as we do these things, others will pay a great price for our disobedience. Israel's first step in the promised land at Jericho, they failed. The first steps, the first battle in the promised land of Jericho, they won the battle, they took the city, but they sinned and they failed. But the failure was not seen until Ai. They won the battle of Jericho, they conquered the city, but in God they failed, and their failure wasn't seen until Ai. Anytime we are disobedient to God, we are moving backwards. We are not moving forward, and we are not standing still. God is long-suffering. He is. He is long-suffering. And He loves us in all of these good things. But there is a time when God's long-suffering does run out. And we can see that in Saul's life. God is long-suffering. But we can see there is a time when His long suffering does run out. Amen? Anytime we are moving in disharmony with God and disobedience to what we know to be right, that is sin. Anytime we are moving in disharmony with God, knowing what is right, then that is sin. That does not bring us into any forward progress. That brings us into a regression in God. We are moving and living in the wilderness of Bethlehem. So anytime that we are backsliding, we're moving away from God, then we're in the wilderness of Bethlehem. We are leaving. We are not going anywhere. And this, as it continues, brings us into what is called that backslidden state. And finally, it brings us to death. That is the progression spiritually. Backsliding, loss of the work of God in our lives, then death. A spiritual death, and in Saul's case, it was a physical death. His physical death came out of his spiritual death. Now that's very sobering. And I have seen that in people's lives, so many times. For Saul's physical death came out of his lack of his spiritual death, amen? Spiritually, and in Saul's case, physically. God's long-suffering does come to an end. And He pulled, it does come to an end. And He pulls on down so that He can promote another. Let me say that again. The Bible says in Psalm 75:6 says, "Promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. The promotion comes from the hand of God." But God is the judge. He pulleth down one, and He setteth up another. I wonder if David was thinking of Saul when he wrote this song. Wow. I wonder if he was thinking of Saul, that God pulls down one, his long-suffering ends, so that He can promote another. You know, one of the biggest fear that Paul had, he was fearless. He was in ministry and stuff, but Paul's number one fear, in my reading of Acts and stuff with Paul, was that Paul would be a castaway. And this is what happens when you go ahead and you get over to some areas and you start walking away from God. If you're a minister or if you're being used of the Lord, is you become a castaway. You become disqualified. And that word cast away means that God will put you up on the shelf. It's like you have a pot, and it's not right. It just wasn't made right. And so you just cast that away. And so if you're a minister and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, and you're not moving in the revelation that God has, He will take you and He will put you up on the shelf, cast you away from the ministry, put you on the shelf so that you can watch. So you're up on the shelf and you're sitting there and you're watching everybody else. You're watching things go, things that happen. But God has taken you and moved you away from ministry and moved you away from these things. He's put you on the shelf. Paul, that was Paul, in my opinion, is Paul's number one, and number one concern, that he would not be a castaway. And you can see that in 1 Corinthians 9:27. Amen. Now, if God puts you on the shelf, that's a good thing, right? Am I right? If God puts you on the shelf, that's a good thing. Because that means there's hope. If God puts you on the shelf, then God can get you down off that shelf, right? Saul, he didn't get down off the shelf. That was it. Saul walked away from God. And so God spiritually Saul lost his life, physically Saul lost his life. If you're put up on the shelf so you can watch and maybe learn whatever, God may say, okay, he's walked and learned enough. Now I'm going to get him down off the shelf and I'm going to get him back in the game. I'm going to get him back in ministry. But he could just go, this vessel is marred. It's no good. I'm going to go ahead and just get rid of it. Wow. Amen? Yeah. Defeat. There is no defeat in God. If you're looking for defeat, it's not in God. In God, there is only victory. And that is God's intention for our life. But for us to be able to walk in victory, we must allow God to work in our life. And we must continually keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. And that forward progression of the things of God and revelation and understanding in our life. Amen?
Amen. Amen.